Think your pitch could make it across the plate at Busch Stadium? Well, prove it by winning Hot Shots First Pitch Sweepstakes this summer. Qualify for your chance by coming to any of the 12 Hot Shots locations and swipe your MVP card for a chance to win a variety of prizes in addition to throwing out the first pitch, like a pair of tickets to Cards games, Grizzly coolers, gift cards, and free food. Don't have a Hot Shots MVP card? Ask your server on the next stop in. Hot Shots, St. Louis, home for all the games all the time for 25 years.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Marlins.
Giancarlo, Doug. Fielding the baseball.
Got to make the plays.
Boy, you guys have been around the game, haven't you?
I had a cup of coffee with the B-team at St. Louis U High in 1992 before Steve Sachs' disease cost me a trip to the majors. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you on the program. Here, Derek Gould going to join us on the Tease Farms Captain's Log, and we believe Cardinal Hall of Famer Jim Edmonds will be with us in the 9 o'clock hour. We know we'll have your emails the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Cardinals in action for four against the Padres. Taking a look at the standings, and I don't know if anybody's playing better than the Padres right now. I think
they've won three in a row, Tim.
I think that's
hottest
the longest
team in baseball.
That's the longest winning streak in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. Tied with.
I think the Angels.
That's right.
They just swept the White Sox.
Nobody is playing better than the Padres.
Albert hit two home runs.
Yes, he did. He's up to 17 on the season. That was part of my preseason over/under, and I think his total was like 30, and I was like, that's an under. It might have been less than that, and that looks like I'm going to be super wrong on that one. And I believe that's I did a bunch of over-unders before the season, and a lot of them are looking pretty good. That is one that looks like it's a five-star lock to not happen. Because I wanted to go back on the All-Star break and see how my over-unders were doing, and pretty good.
You know, if Albert's not the most overpaid player in baseball right now, Jason Hayward right behind him.
Wow.
See the year Hayward's having?
Wow.
He's 236.
These are two signings that, I mean, I realize there's a wing of the Cardinal fan base that wanted Pujols for emotional reasons, and I understand that, but these are two things that when they both happened, or when they're both being discussed, not just the three of us, but I think the majority of Cardinal fans, I don't say the majority of Cardinal fans, the majority of people who are listening to this show, and I think I would say the majority of people who are baseball fans, not just like we like to go to the game and, you know, everything the Cardinals do is wonderful, didn't want the Cardinals to spend that kind of money on either one of those players. And it was tough to see both leave from an emotional standpoint. I understand that. But Jason Hayward putting up bad offensive numbers is what Jason Hayward's done, minus 2012.
Mm-hmm.
He's fine, but, you know, he's not a big-time hitter. He's
no, those,
great defensive
those numbers would put you on the bench just about anywhere.
Yes, but I mean,
if you weren't making $20 million a year, you'd be on the bench.
Well, I mean, defensively. Here are the over-unders
before
the Piscotti's season.
Look at what Piscotti's doing in that same position, and he's a bargain.
Pujols' home run total was 29.5 before the season. I went under on that. He's at 17 now, so that looks like that will be wrong. I don't know why I picked this. It looks quite favorable. Doug, you're a big Anthony DeSclafani guy.
Oh, God, yeah. Cincy righty.
Las Vegas had his win total at 10 before the season. I didn't know why, and I went under. I believe he is currently at 3. Billy Hamilton, there was a lot of discussion from analytics nerds before the season that he would be a sell asset.
Mm-hmm.
And the over-under was 59.5 stolen bases for him.
Oh, yeah.
Shipped the under on that.
Well, he hits ninth now, doesn't he?
Yeah. But, I mean, again, this is before the season, so you don't have this data. Carlos Correa, home run total 29.5. He is on pays to go over, but that's not a lot. Carlos Gonzalez, home run total 30.5. I said go under on that. I think he's already at 20, so I'm going to be wrong on that one. Endar Inciarte, batting average 285. I was bullish on him. He's been hurt this year. He's hitting like 230. Jaime Garcia win total was 10 before the season. I said go under on that. He is on pace to go over that. Colton Wong batting average 270. I said go over. He's at what, 230-ish?
Yeah.
That doesn't look good. No. Matt Holliday batting average 275. I said over. Really liked that one. Power numbers are there. Batting average, definitely not. Michael Wacha win total 13.5. I really like the under on that one. That is looking favorable. Trevor Rosenthal save total 42.5. Took the under on that.
That was an easy one. You could have a good year and not get
do 42 exactly. Yeah. That I liked a lot. Wilson Ramos. This was my sneaker play for the year, and I'm looking like a wizard. So you know, just kind of luck boxed into this. Home run total was 15.5. I think he's already at 13. Molina batting average, they had that set at 290 before the season.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, what the hell is this? Under. And
what's he hitting right now? Let's see.
I liked Holliday because I think he'd only hit under 275 twice in his career, and one of them was 273. And my big play was the under on the Cardinals at 87.5, and that is still TBD on where that will fall. So that's where we are. I think they're on pace now for 85 wins. 85.5.
And they still play by the same old thing. That's a that first game back after the break, they had some fundamentally flawed plays, defense a little shaky. And we've seen that continue, which is kind of bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know what you do about Diaz. Clearly, he has to play every day somewhere. But, you know, if right now the stats say he's the worst defensive shortstop in baseball. He's got the most errors. And he's made several plays that we've seen that haven't been counted as errors. I mean, clearly he has the potential to be a big-time guy. But
he's made some great plays, too.
He has.
I think he's going to end up being a very good defensive player. But I guess with a young player, you go through some of that. But it's not even him. I mean, they're just mistakes all over the place that just you're not used to seeing from the Cardinals, at least on a regular basis.
I don't know how many guys get a whole lot better defensively as they get older. Maybe there are some, but usually the really good defensive players are pretty good defensively real quick in their career.
Hey, Doug, errors is a terrible measure of defense. Thanks. That's from the Shrewsbury Seminary.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to measure that. Bad throws and balls that get through your legs or something.
Yeah, and I think for a young guy who wasn't even on the radar to suddenly be a major leaguer and a key part of the team, I do think there might be a learning curve with the defense.
He's probably the single most valuable guy they have right now with Carpenter out. I mean, who do you want at the plate more than Diaz? And he's playing a crucial position. I don't doubt that he's a heck of a player and a great asset, maybe the best asset they have on the team. I'm not sure that he's the everyday answer at short. Maybe you get a better defensive shortstop and put him at second base and Carpenter at third.
Yeah, I'd like to see him grow into a shortstop. If you can get a guy like that who has tools defensively, and I think he will get better, then you're set for a lot of years, at least that's the hope.
Well, yeah.
And then you don't have to start moving guys back around. I like Matt Carpenter at second base. I think he's better defensively at second than he is at third. And, you know, you have options at third base if Johnny's not hitting the ball. I like the way that shakes out.
But if you're talking about what do we do to fix this problem of poor defense continuing to plague us, I think that's the most obvious place to start.
Yeah,
maybe he's the third baseman. I don't know. Or maybe he will get better. But right now, defense is a big problem on this team.
It's an important couple of weeks, really, just because of the calendar, number one, with the trade deadline and what the Cardinals will be doing. Also because of who they're playing. Now, while the Padres are playing better than anybody you're going to find in Major League Baseball.
Sizzle.
It's a big Southern California week right now with the way the Angels and Padres are playing and what they have, like 12-game winning streaks?
Three.
Okay. So they play the Padres for four, but then the Dodgers, team they're chasing in the wild card, and the Cat. Then you go out on the road, Mets, team they're chasing the wild card, and then to Miami, team they're chasing in the wild card. So right around this trade deadline, you get the break of getting the red-hot Padres with that 11-game winning streak for four. But then Dodgers, Mets, Marlins, and the end of the month.
See, I think if they're anywhere close to wild card, they're going to pursue a playoff spot. If it doesn't look like it's a huge opening for them to try to crawl through, they'll make a smaller deal. Like, I think they're definitely going to upgrade the bullpen by going outside.
I think they'll be talking to your friends in the pinstripes, or are the friends in the pinstripes going to be doing higher-end business?
I think it might be higher-end business. I don't know. It depends where they
are.
Aroldis
Chapman,
this.
Doug.
Oh, yeah, he'd be great. I don't know what kind of trade bait you have that you're going to part with to get Aroldis Chapman.
Andrew Miller, Doug.
He'd be fabulous, too. Get them both. It'd be great. But what are you going to use as your trade bait? I mean, the kind
sometimes
of guys that teams
just
want.
Like, sometimes teams just like making trades with a team you like and won't ask for much in return for a good player.
The kind of guys the Yankees would want, they'd want Piscotty. They'd want Diaz. They'd want Grichik. Carlos Martinez. You're not going to give them any of these people. Why would the Yankees want your older veterans who might only have a year or two
left? Well, you're
left?
Asking, like, I said I don't think it'll be the Yankees. I just said that. So
my question is, what is their trade doing? What kind of trade bait do they have right now? Brandon Moss, maybe. He's hurt.
He is?
Matt, so you can't really deal him. Who are you going to trade to get one of these valuable arms?
As I said, I think if there's a reasonable opportunity, they will upgrade the bullpen in some fashion. I don't think it's going to be one of the premier bullpen pieces available. I could be, and if they make a move now, then maybe they try to work that out. I also don't think, based on what John Mozeliak has said, that they're eager to push the Reyes button, who has a 4.8 ERA.
Yeah, he wasn't great Saturday. He started Saturday and gave up, I think, five runs in 5 innings.
But they want him to just keep pitching at the minor league level and get better, and then at some point you'll hear from him. But, you know, I know when the bullpen is struggling as it has, Cardinal fans want something done.
Hey, Doug, when Edmonds is on, make sure to ask him about intentionally fouling balls off. While discussing Ichiro, he implied that his late swing was many times to intentionally foul the ball. It's from the 3-4.
Well, if anybody could do it, Ichiro could do it.
But he finna get 3,000 hits this week.
Yeah. And he's still legging out infield hits at age 42. He's really an amazing guy.
Here's the bottom line. The NL Central's not very good, including the Cubs. Check records outside the division. The Cardinals aren't very good, period. That's from Mr. Sam.
Okay. Yeah, the Cubs have had a horrible season. You're right. Yeah, the Cubs 55-36. They're not very good this year. Run differential. And I know you guys don't understand that, man.
I don't.
But the run differential is plus 144. By far the best in the major leagues.
And that has to do with the whip. Fair. The run differential is based on
just
whip.
Runs scored, runs allowed. So I think by any measure, the Cubs are having a down year.
Let's see. Tim saw Chris in Florida at the Country 500 over Memorial Weekend. Definitely worth it. Thanks. Chuck and the Chuck.
They saw Chris in Florida?
Is that a guy we know?
Who the hell's Chris?
Is that the guy who's the vice president of Florida?
I don't know.
There's a guy I text in as the vice president of Florida. I'm trying to figure out how it all connects. Maybe he's talking about Chris Stapleton, who we made reference to with our Lou Fest.
But he knows him so darn well that he's on a first-name basis with him. Knock it off. Knock it off.
Hey, Tim.
That's a good one.
Hey, you don't have to say, hey, Tim. Tim is the one that these texts are going to. So just start with your
point.
Well,
they're going to us. All, but sometimes people want to direct it specifically to one of us, and so I understand it. It's just we had a few in a row that said, hey, Tim.
Well, they're not going to me because I'm not looking at it, nor is Jim.
Hey, Tim, my friend Paul, whose wife is hot, wants to know if you want to play golf with him this week.
Do you want to play golf with him just because his wife is hot? Maybe if he said, would you like to play golf
it's
with
a
the
reason.
Wife?
It's a reason.
Also, I want to know about the sex. Thanks. That's from Fancy Todd. It's wonderful to communicate with the audience.
It isn't really. So will you take him up on this offer and play golf simply because his wife is hot?
Yeah, the two seem unrelated on the surface.
Yeah, they do.
I would go out there at around 5 o'clock, and there wouldn't be many people on the course, and Anna Marie would just be on the cart with me. that was enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
But she was not playing.
Does she like to drive?
Is that like a reference to her wearing a strap-on?
Well, what? No, some people just like to drive the golf cart.
Oh, that's, you're talking about his marriage.
Yeah. Don't soil the sanctity of my vows.
My question is, does she like to drive?
I hope we dropped out of Doug's vial.
Don't you know people that just kind of like to drive the golf cart?
No, actually.
No.
There are people who just get in golf carts and drive around.
Hey, guy, mind if I drive your cart?
My kids have always loved driving the golf cart. Maybe,
but they don't play. They just like to go to clubs and drive around.
Well, they would go with me and drive.
Really? But they wouldn't play.
Well, when they were little, sometimes they played a little bit.
Did you like the scary roller coasters?
Yeah.
You like that stuff?
Sure.
You don't get squeamish?
No.
I get all squeamish.
You do?
I do it, but...
I don't know. That doesn't bother me.
Do you yell and scream?
Not much, no.
You just sit there and enjoy the
usually
ride.
Usually tough it out, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what you do? You yell like a little schoolgirl on the roller coaster?
I just try to make my son laugh, so I yell things as we're on the ride, trying to make him laugh.
Does he enjoy it?
Yeah. I always say things like, I can't say it on the air.
I pooped. Vile things?
I pooped. That's what I say. And he laughs.
Doug, do you have a problem with that?
Well, it's a little disgusting.
I'm raising him to be vile, to one day host his own AM radio show in the morning.
Hey, Tim, my wife might be a lesbian. Thanks. That's from the Sunset Hillbilly.
So that's supposed to get you interested?
I don't know. I mean, these are just, they're kind of non sequiturs, it seems.
It just seems like he felt it was good news and he wanted to share it with Tim.
I agree with that. Still want to get Janie the Lesbian's feedback on...
Tim is sort of St. Louis's lesbian liaison.
I feel that way.
Yeah.
I feel I'm very popular in the lesbian community. And I'm happy about that.
How many lesbianic friends have you?
I think every woman in her 20s is at least bi-curious.
Really?
Yeah, I've decided that.
Because their skin is soft like...
That's correct.
We learn so much.
But then,
After the first divorce, sometimes women kind of go, oh, maybe I should. And then, unfortunately, I feel terrible for so many women in St. Louis. I don't know if this is trending down, but around 30, if you're still single, then you feel like you got to get married. And then if you don't, then you just kind of go, oh, maybe I should start screwing around with girls. I think that goes on.
Well.
Not to mention her hot body that looks hot in a bikini.
Okay. Well, of course, when they get 30, they're thinking about, I ought to get married if I'm going to have kids.
That's like in Chicago or New York City, it wouldn't necessarily be that. That's what I'm saying. Here, I feel like people feel societal, environmental pressure to get married younger.
And they ever feel that pressure and just decide, I'll get a puppy?
I think so, actually. I think so.
30 doesn't seem that young for a girl to get married.
But I'm not saying it's young. I'm saying it's not old either to be single. That's more of my point. No. You can get married at 25.
How old were you when you got married?
Doug was 28, that's my guess.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Yes. Yep. It's important to know the people you work with. It's important to know the people you work with. It's important to know it.
Okay. You? How old were you?
40-something.
Oh, jeez.
40.
And never came close before that?
No.
Never even thought of it?
No. I kind of was enjoying my...
Oh, look at you. Look at you.
And back then, back then, gay marriage wasn't legal anyway.
Oh, wow.
Vile. Again.
Wow. Just soiling the sanctity.
We share, and then you try to rip on Tim's marriage with your vile way. Now you're insinuating things about me. Well, and then you wonder where the vile backlash...
Yep. I don't know where
you
come
from.
Guys, I can confirm the Sunset Hillbilly's wife is not a lesbian. Thanks, the St. Peter's Lemming. Interesting.
Who's on? Because I heard in the background.
Doug, there's somebody on.
Hello.
Hello.
What's up, boys? How you doing?
Hello, Shrewsy.
Hey, Doug. I got some big problems with you this morning, but I'm not going to go into that.
Okay.
So this fight between Timberfake and Jeff in Indiana, New York, Jeff
Weaver. He was here for the 06 celebration.
So skinny of the rail.
Very good. Is this fight going to happen?
Doug?
I don't have any idea.
Doug, Tim put you in charge while he was away on...
I think Timberfake is in favor of it, but this Jeff from New York guy, I don't think he's...
I want to help get Timberfake a job so we can win back Tony Lee.
Okay, what are you going to do to make that happen?
I don't know. I'm just going to put him in touch with good people and get him a nice gig. What do you think he'd be good at doing, Doug?
I don't know. I think he's got all kinds of job skills that would translate well into any position you might have available.
Yeah. One of my toilets is loose at my house, and I need somebody to, like, tighten it.
Oh, come on. It's a screwdriver.
He's a poet.
I don't have a screwdriver.
He's a poet.
I don't have a screwdriver. Anna Marie might have one.
There's a little screw underneath the seat, and you just screw it tighter.
I can't do that.
That's hot.
Are you
so that's one thing.
Serious about that? You're not serious.
I just offered Timberfake a job to tighten the screw around my toilet.
It would take you 10 seconds. Get a Phillips screwdriver.
Isn't that what Tony Lee wants? She wants him to get some more like responsibility so she can be with him.
Yeah, you know what? If you can get him a job, get Doug one too, because he wants out of the business stat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you got?
Hey, Doug, I'm out. Yeah. I'm on I-70 West right now. You got any recommendations for food?
Well, where on I-70 West?
I'm heading to Mexico, Missouri, beautiful Mexico, Missouri.
Tyron Lue, Doug. Gave a shout-out right when the Cavs won
shout
the NBA
out to Mexico,
championship.
Missouri.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I don't know.
Doug, any recommendations?
There's always a McDonald's right there along the road.
I assume there's an Applebee's nigh.
Probably.
Cracker Barrel.
I like that Cracker Barrel.
How about that truck stop at Forestell?
Any glory holes
there,
bro?
On there? Yeah, glory
hole. They don't exist.
Well, I got a call coming in. I got to go, boys.
Okay, sorry to bother you.
Did Plowhawk, did you call him?
No, sure he's a good dude. He calls here a couple times a week.
What business would you have in Mexico, Missouri today?
I've never been, Doug. Can't answer that.
Commerce is everywhere.
Amen. It's my credo.
I just said it.
Hey, Tim, my wife thinks I'm gay because I like to kiss guys on the lips. I tried to explain that there's nothing sexual about experiencing a man's lips. Your thoughts? It's from Rory Pepperpaws. Mm-hmm.
That's for Doug?
No, it said, hey, Tim. Oh. See, that's how we know who the listeners want the answer from.
All right.
I don't think that makes you a homosexual if you would let them make out with guys.
I think it does.
I'm gay for Doug.
I'd say it does. I'd say yes, it does.
Still haven't gotten a good answer on Lena, on Ray Donovan. I don't think she gets enough attention.
Your question was what, though?
Does our audience find her attractive?
She looks too much like Steven Tyler.
And what's the actress' name again?
Kate Mooring?
Kate Mooring.
Catherine Mooring?
Catherine Mooring. How do you spell Mooring?
M-O-E-R-R-I-N-G.
I like watching Doug's...
Is it Mooning or Mooring?
Oh, watch this. We can moan and groan until your mom's comes home. And you'll be calling me Al Dope Capone.
Mooring comes up.
How many words a minute do you think you could type, Doug? Because I'm looking at
50.
Your pecking and pecking style.
I can go
hot and peck
fast,
style, they call it. Hot and peck.
Catherine Mooring? Okay, I just don't see her in there, Tim. I don't think your spelling's right.
Just put Lena from Ray Donovan. That's what I did, and I found her to look like one of the Bay City Rollers.
Lena? From Ray Donovan.
You don't have to say it. You just type it.
Well, it helps me.
Yeah. He's got Siri in his desktop.
Now you see the pictures?
Okay. She's 38 years of age from Philadelphia.
Wow. That sounds like you're saying she's too old.
No, I'm just pointing that out. That's all. And you're wondering if she's a real lesbian? That's the question?
No. I'm pretty confident.
He was asking if our listeners find her attractive.
That's what I'm asking.
I guess he was trying to get your vote since you're... Okay. Listening to him ask the question.
Right. Okay, let me get some images here, if you don't mind, just a second.
Catherine Mooning, M-O-E-N-N-I-G.
Okay, yeah, I'd say she's attractive. Yeah.
I mean, I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I would think she's like a lesbian goddess.
Well, I don't know, Tim.
Seems like you were dodging right there, Doug.
I don't know.
Doug, Kate Mooning looks like she plays stand-up bass in poetry slams. Not hot. Thanks. W applause.
Right.
I mean, you could look at some of these pictures, Tim, and immediately jump to the conclusion, not hot at all.
I know, and that's why I think it's a controversial topic. I guarantee you they're talking about on 101 right now.
They won't be.
Is it gay if I like to expel my seed in another man's...
Who was that, Tim?
The hipster of Tower Grove South.
Boy, I should have known. Hipster of Tower Grove South, you have been suspended for that question. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time, and your name is going into the Llewellyn's Pub suspension logule. And I'm putting it in there even as we speak.
Hipster, and congratulations on putting your name in the hopper.
Oh, that's right. His name goes into the hopper automatically to possibly win a trip to spring training. But if I have anything to do with it, your name will not be drawn.
That's the ultimate disrespect from the sales staff, and I applaud it.
Yep, Melissa Marr. She's had enough of us, and so she's fighting back. Hey, a week from Thursday night, we will be doing the show for Friday, Thursday Night Live, in front of a studio audience. All kinds of things going on. Plow Padre working on all kinds of things. The Cat, you'll be in Miami. Cardinals and Marlins. Four-game series, I think. But Doug, myself, Charlie Marlowe, Jennings Jr., a foot fetish Thursday to air on Friday. It'll be a live Ryan Kelly Morning After broadcast at Hot Shots Manchester. It starts at 6, runs until 8:30. Jennings will be there for a foot fetish Friday. We'll have a special edition of Morning After Trivia. Doug will be freaked out by how much some of our listeners know about the show. I witnessed one of these things, and
what trivia would there be about this show?
There are questions that are actually things that I don't know about the show that some of our listeners don't know about the show. Who was the assistant program director when the show started? And, like, two people got it. I go, God, I didn't even know.
Doug made an innocent friend in Mexico and who was totally blown out of proportion. What is that gentleman's name?
Yeah, what if we made up some of this stuff?
Well, that was real. It was Victor.
Oh, God, yeah,
Victor.
Real.
You remember Victor.
And on top of it, Doug, we have our new shirt, which we're unveiling. I don't know if you've seen it because it's on the fan page and you don't go there. Take a look at it. There it is. It's a navy blue Lemmings shirt, and it's like a jersey.
I want one.
And it says Lemmings with the Morning After kind of in the underscore. Mm-hmm. And on the back, the number 6.
For Stan the Man Musial.
I would have gone.
You can read into it however you want, sir.
I would have gone 3. Maybe we can make another version of that.
The first 25 people in line, and we'll have somebody there to organize the line because I can already see this being a problem, will get a shirt for free. Now, the shirts are going to be $20. Now, I know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. There's going to be an argument over who's in line and who's not in line.
Sure.
And who gets it for free. And then it's going to be a whole thing, and I'm going to say, yes,
yes, yes, yes. And who's going to get blamed if there is a mishap? You will.
Of course I will, but we are going to set up a line at Hot Shots in Manchester for the first 25 people to get a shirt for free. Otherwise, we will get them out to people. You can buy them there. You can buy them on InsideSTL.com beginning on July 28th. I posted a picture of the T-shirts on the fan page if you want to see them. But
maybe you need to hand out tickets to the people as they come so there's not cutting in line.
That's a good idea. See, you're ready to run this company. Yeah. I'm resigning.
Otherwise, someone will step away and, no, I was here. Yeah. No, I just got here. Yep. You know, you better give them tickets.
Yeah, maybe like at 5 o'clock.
Tickets are a whole to-do. How about this? We're adults here, so at this moment, whoever's in line and I'm watching – get some free. Otherwise,
like the watcher in the woods, Betty Davis.
Someone will say, I'm holding spots for other people.
No holding spots.
Yeah, one shirt per person.
You need one guy named Vinny.
So we were going to go to extra large, and then somebody said, I really need a 2XL.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
And now I'm getting complaints that there aren't 3XLs available.
How big do you have to have a 3XL?
Triple big?
I mean, I think Orlando Pace wears a 2XL.
How do you know?
How do you know? 3XL?
How do you know what size shirt Orlando?
He's a regular at the four o'clock.
And you're checking his clothing label.
Well, I just noticed that we can fit into the same clothing, he and I, especially around the shoulders.
So there are people pissed that I don't have 3XLs available.
3XL? Well, I mean, you'd have to weigh 3 bills, wouldn't you? 3XL?
I don't know. I'm a twink of a boy.
You're a diminutive little
guy. I am. Yeah. Bald as the day I was born.
And you wear, what, like a small or medium?
Yeah, and twink, though.
Boy's medium.
And twink.
He
so
wears
it's tight.
He wears,
like
a boy, he wears a boy's petite.
He wears a TM, a twink's medium.
Yeah. Derek Gould's going to be with us here in this segment on the Appliance Discounter phone line. So join us at Hot Shots on the 28th live broadcast. I believe Jennings is having a thing at Normandy. Leading into it, like they're going to play 9 holes and then come to Hot Shots at Manchester for a whole pony. Now, Tony Lee told me she was going to be there, 4 Foot Fetish Friday, mm-hmm. Even though she hates hot foot play, she's going to be there.
Who is that? Who?
Timberfake's newest ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, but they'll get back together. She still loves him. We uncovered it on this show.
No, she brought in his new boyfriend that she loves.
Oh, she brought in Jeff New York last week?
Oh,
the cable guy?
Oh,
she did?
Gosh, yeah.
They were in studio?
No, I mean, she brought him in town.
Oh.
She called in and told us about this.
I put her under cross-examination, like only I can, and she admitted she still loves Timberfake. You were here for that.
Well, that might have been a couple weeks ago. I think the worm has turned.
Doug, we can meet up and I'll show you a 3XL. Thanks, the St. Peter's Lemming.
St. Peter's Lemming, you've been suspended. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. Thank you, Llewellyn's, for providing the handsome leather-bound suspension longule.
What's the special today?
Where's my sheet with the specials on there?
We haven't gotten the list for this week yet.
What do you think it is? It
doesn't matter.
They have good burgers, though.
It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you just say, hey, I'd like the special. And they go, okay, now you're also entered into the drawing.
Hey, Doug, what about us 4 or 5 XL people?
Well, you know, if you're a 5XL, you're not going to fit in the door at Hot Shots. So maybe stay at home.
Wow, you're telling our audience to stay at home.
Do they even make a 5XL?
Here's the thing. I thought 2XL would be good enough.
It should be. And you know what? No disrespect or not body shaming, but you can't make every size to fit everyone on the globe. No.
Yeah.
So you got to cut it off
somewhere.
Should
I bitch that they don't make hats where one side is one way and then the other side is not? I don't. I accept the fact that my hat's going to be tilted like a pimp.
Yes, we love you the way you are. Unfortunately, we don't have a shirt to fit you. We're sorry. It's not a big deal.
Right. You're beautiful, no matter what they say. Words can't bring you down.
No, right.
Derek Gould, Hot Shots.
This Cardinal Report is brought to you by Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Bring your Cardinals ticket stub to any of the 12 area Hot Shots locations the day after a home victory and get 25% off any menu item.
The big man will score!
Plus, if you swipe your Hot Shots MVP card, you'll be entered in their first pitch sweepstakes for a chance to throw out the first pitch at an upcoming Cardinals game.
And joining us right now, presented by Hot Shots, this Cardinal Report. Hot Shots is the sponsor of Derek Gould's appearance here on the Ryan Kelly Good Morning After. Good morning, Derek.
Morning. I don't know if I've ever had an organ play as prelude there.
Yeah, here comes the king is what that is, Doug. Mm-hmm. Here comes the king.
The big
king
number one.
Yep, mm-hmm. Here it comes. Derek Gould with us. I feel like this is a repetitive theme over the course of the 2016 season. The opportunity was there for more wins this weekend, but inopportune offense and poor defense cost the Cardinals those chances.
Yeah, that about covers it. Too many strikeouts, okay, seen that before. Short abbreviated start by a starter, seen that before. Exposed bullpen or leakage in the bullpen late in the inning, seen that before. Adam Wainwright pitched a shutout to get the only win of the weekend, seen that before. Well, I guess we hadn't seen that before this season, but we've seen it before in the past. They had a chance to win a series, gain a game in the wild card race, and they did none of those things.
So is there any fix that you can see? Anything they can do to shore up the defense and help the bullpen? You see a trade coming, or what do you think we'll see here in the next couple of weeks?
I think the defense is hard to address. I think they are the team they are going to be with the defense. It's not something that you can go out and add at the trade deadline. Or at least I don't see a way. Maybe there is a creative way out there. Maybe there is a way yet to reveal itself, Doug. But I haven't seen one. And when I've asked around, there hasn't been a lot of suggestions made. The thought that Holiday moving to first, you could see how that frees up a spot in the outfield either for a trade or for Pham to play more. But there's no guarantee there. And then, is that the kind of upgrade you're looking for defensively? It might help the outfield, but what does it do for the infield? I think any move right now with the defense, you're going to give something somewhere. And it's just a matter of how much or how quickly you can improve right now what you have. As far as the bullpen, though, that can be addressed through trade. There are lots of relievers available. The Cardinals can go a number of different routes. They can look at throwing arms at the situation like they did last year with Broxton and Cishek. They can also try to hook a big fish like they have in mind. They have the ability to do that would alter the look of the bullpen. They need an arm down there to either handle the ninth or to secure leads to get to 0 in the ninth. And you know, everything right now with the way it's gone is related to the ripple effects of Rosenthal and guys being kind of jut out of position or out of role, and it hasn't settled in the way they want it to.
We were talking about this, you know, you throw out the names that the Yankees have to offer, guys like Chapman. I just get the sense that that's not necessarily, at least at this point, who the Cardinals are targeting, but they are.
I haven't heard Chapman either, but Miller is a guy that they've long had interest in.
Well, what kind of trade bait do the Cardinals have? I mean, they don't have a whole lot of prospects at AAA, do they?
They're doing okay. Actually, they've been able. That's actually been maybe the thing that has under the surface been their biggest advancement this year. While the major league team has been frustrating and disappointing, they have moved in significant ways, and they've gotten performances down in the minors that have helped close that gap that we talked about. I think we spent a lot of the time last year talking about that. When Piscotty graduated to the majors, there wasn't that next top flight position player. And with Reyes as the headliner, the top pitching prospect around, there was that real question as to who was second and how far a gap that was between Reyes and everybody else. I think you've seen some of the guys really close the gap there. There's an array of ways you could go with that, Doug. Is you could go, Flaherty, Weaver, these guys have pitched well. They have high, they're widely regarded as pitching prospects. There's Sam Tuivalala, who doesn't quite have a role in this major league team, but has a big arm and has the kind of, profile that will attract other teams. You have the young down in Double A who splashes power from the position play. Bader has helped close that gap and now has moved up because of his play in the outfield. I actually think that they have an interesting array of names that that will grab attention. They can get some teams interested, which is a little different than a year ago when the dip between who they were counting on, who the Cardinals were counting on and wanted in the majors, and who they had to offer was pretty steep.
You mentioned the ripple effect with Rosenthal, and clearly he's in a bad way right now. I'm one that believes that we haven't seen the last of him. The question is, how do you get Rosenthal back to being Rosenthal? And I'm kind of at a loss. Do you put him at AAA and give him some time to get? How do you try to fix that?
Yeah, it's a great question. Right now, you can't just let him sit in the bullpen and wait. You need him to pitch. You can't script appearances for him because that's not how the bullpen – I mean, unless you start him, there's no way to script appearances for him. They're in a spot where they need to win. They need to get right. They need to figure out, have some positive movement in the standings going. So you can't just throw him out there, on any given day when you want him to. They give him a pretty high leverage spot the other day, in part because that was the spot they had. It wasn't the best of spots for him, I think everybody would agree, because it was a sudden jump from how they had been using him in the past, and it put him in direct line to influence the game, which is, again, something they tried to avoid. One of the only places you can do all these things, script appearances, use them on certain days, use them on certain innings, is in Memphis, where the games don't count against the standings. And this is on their mind. I asked about it over the weekend, and I know that Matheny was candid about the fact that they couldn't overlook any option and that everything had to be discussed on the table. He agreed that Rosenthal, I asked him, do you see some similarities between Wong and Grichuk in the sense that those guys went down to Memphis because, for one, they weren't playing in Wong's case, so he needed to play every day. And in two, in Grichuk's case, he had things that he specifically needed to work on. Rosenthal is kind of an amalgam of both here. He doesn't have the role that assures playing time, and when they do get him playing time, it's sometimes the least productive spot for him to be in, like it was the other night. He's got mechanical things to work through. So Memphis makes some sense. It was beneficial to the other guys. It's just a matter of how would Rosenthal react to it.
You think Rosenthal might be a trade chip that some team might think
possible
they could get him turned around?
It's possible. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. I don't know how eager. I don't really get a sense that the Cardinals are eager to move him because they see what it's like without him as closer.
Well, you think if the Cardinals fall apart here before the trade deadline and they find themselves 11, 12 games out, that they might go the other way and become sellers and maybe try to get a little bit younger?
I'm not sure. Can they find themselves? I'd have to do the math on that, Doug. They'd have to lose every game, right, to be 11 games out? Is that right?
Well, there's, what, 8 out now, and there's still two weeks to go.
I'm sorry. I got you. That's out of the division. No, because there's the wild card.
Yeah, but so you don't think there's any way possible that they would become sellers here at the trade deadline?
That's a hard. I mean, they haven't been since Mark McGwire had fewer than 70 home runs in 1998. I guess it's in with the way they've played, anything's possible. They could plummet. They could lose over the next 2 weeks, win only once, I guess, and they have a long road trip coming up here against the Mets and Marlins. That arrives before the trade deadline. So 3 in New York, 4 at the Marlins. I guess those are two teams they're chasing for the wild card. They lose all those games, and they're way back in the wild card. It's possible. One of their chief things that they could trade, though, is in a walking boot. So, I mean, I'm not sure that the wild card race stacks up for them to be so far out that they don't think they can get it without shopping. B, the culture of the Cardinals, I mean, I would imagine that there would be an extreme backlash if they cashed in their chips on this season, especially if they're close in the wild card. And, the other part of that is, what are you going to trade? I mean, if you trade a guy, if you go the standard kind of movement, it'd be Brandon Moss, right? And he is walking around in a boot.
Hopefully he'll get that boot off today. That's what he was saying. He was hoping to get cleared to take that off. I guess to me what it boils down to is if the Cardinals have a shot at the wild card, if they have a shot at climbing through that window, in my opinion, they're not going to be sellers. So what determines for them not having a shot? And I think they're going to be within a few games of a wild card, so they're not going to be sellers. I look at it as, what investment will they make trying to upgrade based on the size of that window to climb through? If they feel like they have a good shot, they might go bigger. How do you see it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that they can't just – I mean, you can look at it two ways, Kat. I agree with you that, we've seen them make minor adjustments. In fact, one year where they made the most minor adjustments of all – is the year that they won the pennant and went to the World Series. So we've seen in the past where, usually the trade deadline involves some kind of addition of a reliever for them to fortify depth or to handle a specific need. The depth, you would look at Broxton Mishichik, or the specific need, you'd look back to Mojica, who was the guy that they needed for the seventh. But I think there's more of a sense here that, how do you look at this? You can look at this trade deadline as a short-term fix, which would be a reliever of some type. But you also can look at this trade deadline that depending on the names that enter the swirl, and we've seen, we know of some with outfielders. There was some sense at the All-Star break when I talked with folks that here in the final week before the trade deadline, some teams with starters might surprise folks. I know there was a report yesterday that the Tampa Bay Rays would have to be overwhelmed with interest and with an offer for Chris Archer. That's a standard kind of stance these days, especially in this middle July period, because they want to know if there's anybody interested. It's sort of like dipping your toe in the water so that you see how many folks are raced to make an offer and see if there's one that overwhelms. So there's a sense that starters can come in. And I bring that up only because Cardinals do have to play or have, at least in part of their mind, the long game here. The way to add a guy or alter the feel of this team is to make a move that not only influences this year, but maybe leaves a guy in control of next year. This team is open for that. The team, the roster is open for that, because they don't have the the core in place. They do have some moving parts when you think about what's coming next year or who's under contract for next year. So they can play the short game, but there's a long game discussion to have as well as to, you know, what is beneficial to kind of shock this team and maybe carry over into next year.
Who would be the position player in AAA that might be closest to coming in and making an impact?
That's a fair question. I don't know about impact. I mean, impact's a tough thing. I mean, most of the guys are already here that you would say that with. I don't think that there's a guy at AAA who would provide more than the folks who are already here. I mean, otherwise, I think you'd already have that person up. I think there's, Charlie Tilson is interesting, but he's not going to come up as a starter. He adds a different dimension, speed, different element to the outfield. But, you know, he'd be coming off the bench. I mean, in some ways, the answer, Doug, might be counterintuitive. It might be Carson Kelly. Carson Kelly's at AAA. Carson Kelly's having a great year. Carson Kelly has the trust of Mike Matheny. If this were 12 months from now, you know, Carson Kelly would be up as the backup catcher and would be playing more than the backup catchers right now. So, I mean, in some ways, the answer to your question is counterintuitive because it's not a starter, but it's a guy who at least would alleviate some of the innings on Molina, which we just haven't seen at all this season.
Derek Gould, our guest right now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. He's presented by Hot Shots, as our Cardinal reports are. And keep in mind, the Ryan Kelly Morning After will be broadcasting in front of a live studio audience. Doug, all of our listeners right there at Hot Shots on Manchester, July 28th. And we're giving away / selling those new Lemmings T-shirts, which you will proudly wear at Old Warson.
I have to wear one.
Yep, they're encouraged to wear it at Old Warson. Derek, I'm a fan of probabilities, and even though they're completely arbitrary, it gives people an idea of where our guests are thinking things are. So I'm going to ask for a two-part probability. Doug, there's an A, okay?
I was told there'd be no math.
This is just a you're spitballing here. A is probability to give the Cardinals on winning the National League Central at this moment on July 18th, /16, and then the probability the Cardinals get one of the two wild card spots at this moment, July 18th.
And you want me to give it in
percentiles?
Give me an example of
percentiles. Like, I would say the chance of the Cardinals winning the National League Central is 8%.
A percentile, as opposed to like 1 in 50. You don't want it.
Because I went to St. Louis U High, I'd be able to say, 2%. But our audience, right, the rest of our audience, would be able
Please
to.
Please keep it in percentiles.
Okay, for you, Doug, and only because you asked so nicely.
Okay. Yeah. Thank
Ooh,
you.
Goodness. I will keep it in percentiles.
If
okay,
you
would. So 2%, no, that seems low. 4.5%.
Nice, wow, 4.5%.
That they win the Central.
So that's 2.25 out of 50 if we're doing it that way.
Nice!
Okay,
right.
All right. Yeah, okay.
Well done.
Well done. And then that they get a wild card,
53%.
53.
Wow.
53 to 57.
That's a nice little range.
It's a nice range.
What about 58%?
Doesn't see it that way. Doesn't see it that way. It's too aggressive. That's too ambitious. It's too ambitious.
Can't push it.
Doug, 4.5% on the Central. Are you going over or are you going under?
I'd say right about 5.25%.
Really? See, I would have said 8% on that.
Would you?
Yeah.
I would have said 7.
Wow. So I'm the most bullish, the guy who's been
the pessimist of the group.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah.
It's not necessarily related to the Cardinals so much as I just don't know what the hell's going on in Chicago. What is going on in Chicago?
So this is what we talked about in the spring. Pitching catches up with you. You don't have pitching depth, and you're relying on
And Hamill and
outliers.
Hendricks were over their heads early on.
Oh, not just that, but Lackey, too. I mean, Lackey had a career year for the Cardinals, but that's last year. And that all that stuff catches up, and what you look for is you got to look for guys who crank out the quality starts, not the guys who are roller coasters, who are 7 innings one day, 4 1/3. Like you need quality starts, and it's why Mike Leake is so valuable to the Cardinals and so important to anything they want to pull off, and also why he's been why the defense has been such a detriment to him. You know, go out there, give six plus innings, give three, you know, four and run, three fewer earned runs, and do that every time and watch a team steamroll, watch a team go well. The Cubs have some oscillating performances from guys who have been at their peaks. And when you see that happening, you know, oh, look, I mean, there's going to be a drop. This innings load or the success, it's not going to carry for long. And they were masking what they were missing in the bullpen. I still think the Cubs can be good, but you know, I stand by what I said in spring training. They need some kind of replenishment of pitching at the trade deadline to carry them forward, because come August, that thing, the way they're set up right now, they're going to wheeze and have problems.
That's the most disappointing thing for the Cardinals, is they had a stretch where they were cranking out
quality start,
and they didn't make a move during that because they have other shortcomings. That was disappointing.
Exactly right, Cass.
And you put the wild card 53-57% in that range. There are some teams. We just saw one of them here in St. Louis, and we'll see a couple of the others over the next week and a half with the Dodgers and the Mets. Dodgers and Mets also battling in their respective divisions with the Nationals and the Giants. So you give the Cardinals better than a 50% chance. Who of those teams that I listed do you feel like is the one or two that you go, I think they might falter here over the next 2.5 months?
Yeah, I think that I'm not sold on the Mets.
Yeah.
I think that they have some
obvious health
going
issues.
On. Yeah, 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 and that's the big part of it. You know, and I'm not sure what. I just think that they're on the precipice. I've not been sold on the Dodgers for most of this season. I don't know. You know, I mean, I know they play well. I know that the one benefit they have is they're going to be able to feast on worse teams. You know, you see that they play the Padres and they play Arizona. Arizona's been baffling, but they get to play those teams and get fat on them. But, you know, the Cardinals seem to do pretty well when they get fat on the Brewers. I think you get a really good litmus test for the Cardinals and their wild card chances coming up on the horizon here, actually starting with this past weekend, so that didn't go so well. But three games with the Mets and four games in Miami. This has been a good road team. It's been an awful home team for some odd reason. But, you know, they do some damage. They put things together just enough in that 7-day stretch against other wild card contenders, and they can really sweeten their chances and maybe make good on that 57% pick there. But I look at the Mets as, like you said, having health problems, and the Dodgers are too much of a riddle for me to kind of figure if they're good. I think the Marlins are intriguing. I think they're a team that gets better. They could use some pitching help, because who couldn't? But I do think that they offer an interesting blend of players who are on the upswing. A little like, I'm not saying that they are, but a little like the Cubs of last year, where they got better and better and better. And I think there's elements there for the Marlins to get better and better.
Why didn't Fernandez pitch this weekend, by the way?
I don't know. I know that they were trying to buy him innings. Oh, I do know. He's on an innings limit coming back from Tommy John. And so they have, you know who his agent is, right? You're aware of who his agent is. So they are doing the non-Scherzer route. They don't want to get to a point where they have a chance and all of a sudden they have to shut down their best pitcher. So they are clipping innings, finding ways to save innings during the course of the season for him so that they don't shut him down entirely.
I feel like we're playing a guessing game there. I'm going to guess Scott Boras and Steven Strasburg to say.
Yeah, no, I thought everybody knew that. Sorry.
Well, you forgot what show you're on. Mm-hmm. Now, from 10 o'clock on, you could make that reference and everybody know what you're talking about. On this show, you know.
You need to give yourself more credit. I'm pretty sure, you know, I think the default guess is, oh, Boras must be his agent.
Yeah.
And then you work your way out from that.
Doug, you were on Lee Steinberg, so I helped you.
No, I don't think Steinberg's a player anymore.
We did workshop it. Derek Gould, you can hear him on the Writer's Block, and you can hear him on this show as well. He is with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, presented by Hot Shots. Derek, enjoyed the discussion. Thanks so much, sir.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Peace. Derek Gould with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. The troll said, Tim, I'm surprised you're at 8%. and I'm the most optimistic. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going, oh, these Cardinals are ready to soar, I believe is.
Yeah, 8% is not really high.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you
it's
know.
It's not soaring range.
It's, you know, it's just, I don't know what the hell's going on with the Cubs outside of what Derek went into, which is the pitching. And actually, Hendricks is still throwing well.
Yeah.
But Lackey was on a tear to start, and he's fallen off.
Winless in his last seven starts. Arrieta's coming back to life.
But offensively, Hayward not hitting. It's not hitting this much as, I guess, surprising. But Zobrist has been bad. I know he's on the south side seaman, and he hasn't been doing anything. He got a couple home runs over the last couple weeks, but he's just been 0 for benched yesterday. So that has played a role in it. They've played, you know, some decent teams, played the Rangers here this week. But they're 500 teams since that start to the season. And so that is more related to going, oh, I thought the Cubs were going to be untouchable, and you can't. This is a decent enough sample size to go, well, maybe something's off there. And it's that pitching that people could be talking about. Mr. Sam is back. Doug, you were wrong. Derek Gould just verified the Cubs aren't very good. Neither is the rest of the National League Central. It's Mr. Yeah. Sam. He's back from the 7
Cubs,
o'clock
they out. Sure aren't very good. They've only got the best record in the league. Well, I guess the Giants have overtaken them.
You're so arguing got the, with yourself right
they got
there.
The second best record of the league. That means you're not very good. If you're only 19 games over 500, you are not very good.
Guys, the Mets can't hit. I don't think Murphy bats 360 all year. Thanks. That's from the troll.
Except Murphy's on the Nationals. He's not on the Mets.
But how will that impact the Mets' offense?
Well, it'll impact them when they play each other. Murphy hit a ninth inning home run last night yesterday afternoon against the Pirates.
He did. And I had him on the bench.
Oh, did you? You would have him on the bench?
Because he was scratched from the lineup, baby. Oh. He hadn't played all weekend. All right.
Yeah, when did he get to be one of the top players in the league?
I have no idea. I'm running like Phil Ivey in the Fantasy Baseball League this year. I'm stumbling into all kinds of things.
He was fantastic last year in the playoffs, and he just really hadn't slowed down since.
Yeah. You know what he's on? A tar.
Yeah.
Neil Walker's a pretty good replacement at second base for the Mets.
Pittsburgh zone.
Been very good, hasn't he?
He's got like 16 home runs.
He started off on a power tear.
His batting average is down to like 240 or something.
Hey, we got to take a break. It's the 9 o'clock hour. It's fast approaching here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Sending your emails the morning after at InsideSTL.com. And in 2 minutes, these Lou Fest tickets go on sale. If you want to experience, see, I wouldn't go to Lou Fest just like standing in the crowd. First off, I'm just too big of a D-list local celebrity for that there's a chance that one out of 5,000 people would recognize me, but
you bring your own film crew on.
Yeah, but now with this deal with on InsideSTL.com with our partnership with LouFest this September, it provides an exclusive experience for our listeners. It includes dedicated bathrooms, a lounge area with outdoor TVs, streaming the shows and sporting events, private cash bar, yard games, and of course, possible mingling with our on-air personalities, better known as the Playtone Galaxy of Stars.
The Playtone Galaxy of Stars.
That's right.
Monty will be there, as I'm told.
For the same price as regular admission, you can purchase 1 or 2 day tickets for Lou Fest through InsideSTL.com right now. Go there right now with the password Free Dotem. Chris Stapleton, LCD Sound System, Ms. Lauren Hill, Band of Horses, Harses, as we say on the South Side, the Big Gigantic, and many more. The special ticket link is up and live at 9 o'clock, so it's live now. And you can get involved and hang out with us. Bomber O'Brien's will be providing a free shuttle and food and drink specials before and after the show as well. I'm looking forward to September 10th, September 11th. It is Lou Fest and Inside STL partnering. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more at Witterite's Ryan Kelly Morning. 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 Back with more at